Thrilled that you're here tonight. We're going to talk for just a minute, a couple of minutes about Jesus and about what he means to us. When I was probably about 10 years old, my dad decided to give me a really big gift. One of my closest friends in the world was Brian Krebs. He lived across the street from me. And Brian, when he was about 2 years younger than I, Brian around that time was given a gasoline-powered airplane. It was the kind that had strings on it that were probably about 20 feet long. And so what you do is we'd stand. I lived in a court, and we'd stand in the middle of the court and we'd fire up the airplane and you'd go in circles and you'd fly it up and down. You know, kind of just whatever you could do with it. And we would do it for hours. And I told my dad that what I wanted more than anything else in the world was a gasoline-powered airplane. Now, my father was an industrial arts teacher. So I was the kind of kid who, while I loved to play football and roughhouse and all that kind of stuff, I really loved the reading. So my dad and I didn't always connect with each other. So when I asked for something that he thought was really manly, he was very into that. So my dad, unbeknownst to me, went about building what rivaled some of the things that Boeing has built. It was a ginormous airplane. It was made of balsa wood, and he hand-built it from a kit. And it had probably a 6-foot wingspan. The motor on it was big enough that what you had to do was you had to use a car battery and a drill to get it started. And when he started it, it actually scared me. It was so, I mean, the wind it put out was so strong. So we took it out, and we went to a nearby church that had a big field in it, and we went out into the field, and Dad got out the car battery, and he got out the drill. I'm not sure why we needed all this at the time. I'm not sure how it all functioned. But anyway, he said to me, he said, son, he said, on the maiden flight, it's maybe a little tricky to fly, because the plane that I had been flying and was good at flying had a wingspan like this. And he said, how about if I make the maiden flight so that we can see how this thing works? I said, that's a great idea, Dad. I like that idea. So I stand back, and he fires this thing up. And it is roaring loud. I mean, it sounds like a Cessna. And I'm 150 yards away. There's probably about 40 yards of string on this thing, line on this thing. It is just a really long, long line. And so my father starts it up, and that plane starts to fly, and he brings it around, and he takes it up. And the thing, I mean, it flies fast. He had no idea how fast this thing was going to fly. He said that he got the bigger engine. He had two choices, and he got the bigger engine. You know, kind of Tim Allen-ish. Right? He makes a full circle with that thing all around, and he comes around on the second one, and he decides that now that he's got it under his belt, now that he's had a full circle, he's going to try a little something, right? So he takes it up, and it starts to go up like this, and then he takes it down, and I watched as it goes, and have you ever heard in the movies the sound of a kamikaze pilot going down? That screaming noise. I'm not sure if that was the plane or the engine as it knew it was coming to its demise. But it just took this sudden bank and just headed right into the ground. There was just this enormous explosion of dirt and balsa wood and wings and propellers. I mean, it was just all over the place. And I'm sitting back kind of stunned at the sight of this and thinking to myself, I'm never going to fly that thing. You know, now, I'll be real frank with you. I have no idea what happened to that plane. My dad may have put it in a box and thrown it away. I don't know. I never saw it again. That was the last day I saw that plane. I don't know. To this day, I don't know where it went. And I walked away feeling these very mixed feelings. On the one hand, I thought, that was a really cool gift. I mean, that was a really cool gift that my dad gave me. And I knew that although my dad was really skilled at building stuff, it still took him hours to do that. Hours and hours and hours of time to do that. Lost in 3 minutes. It took him time and money. And see, in my family growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. My dad was a school teacher. My mom was stay at home. And it was always tight. And on the one hand, I felt, man, I was just so blessed by the enormity of that gift and by all that it meant, the money and the hours and all that. I asked forever for a big wheel, and I was always told there wasn't money. And then I get this gigantic airplane, you know, that NASA could have seen with a satellite. But on the other side of it, I kept thinking to myself, kind of underneath, this gift really didn't fit me. You know what I mean? I mean, my friend and I, we flew an airplane this big, and it was about as much as we could handle. You know what? She can stay there, really. Yeah. That's fine. Cool with that? It was more than I could handle. It was more than was really appropriate for me. In some senses, I wonder if there was a part inside my dad that was like, when he saw it on the shelf, man, I really wanted one of those when I was a kid. You know what I'm talking about? Where it was just like, you know, well, he might not ever be able to fly this, but if he can't handle it, I know where it could be used. And I remember the nearly tragic look on his face, and it wasn't just the hours that he spent putting it together, like gone in minutes as the balsa wood flew everywhere. I knew it was also the fact that his son, whom he built it for, never got to fly the plane. And he knew it. And I think in some real way that really saddened him. There was a sense in which he kind of knew that it was a little too big. He couldn't fly it. How could I have? I was so small that if I had held onto that plane, there's a chance it could have taken me across the field. You seen like the Charlie Bland and the kite thing or the Winnie the Pooh and the kite thing? That could have been me. What's that plane doing at 200 feet with that young man behind it? Okay? And there's a very real sense in which when we understand what God did in Jesus, many people's response is, that's amazing. That is an amazing thing that God would send his own son, born in human flesh, and have him walk around among us as his gift to us. That's an amazing thing. See you, sweetie. I meant her, by the way. But for many people, there's a part inside of them that says, you know what, in terms of a gift fit, if you'd just given me some camo, I would have been happy. You know, an orange fleece vest for hunting season would fit me more than a savior. And there's a sense inside some people in which they look at Jesus and they say, I'm not sure that gift really fits me. I don't know how I fit into that picture. I don't feel overly religious. I don't know that I need rescuing. I mean, I know I've done some stuff wrong, but I'm not sure that I've like been on Skid Row. And I'm not sure how this really all fits in, but I'll be honest with you, it's a nice story. The baby Jesus I can handle because he's kind of innocent. He's in a manger. It's kind of cute. It's a nice story. But you actually get to where he grows up and goes to the cross and dies, and then the whole thing about him rising again, and you're like, now that part, some people really have a hard time with. And in some sense, what it really comes down to is asking the question, do we really need, not want, or not need for a little portion of our lives, but to live, to survive, to live beyond this life. Do I really need God? It's a very serious question, and not one that people honestly ask.
They say it in their hearts because they walk around living everyday life, and occasionally they'll pray at night, or they'll see a church and they'll say, maybe I should go to that, or maybe they even go to church, but they ask themselves deep down, do I really need God? Because it doesn't seem like I've done anything horrible in life. It doesn't seem like I'm drowning and need rescuing. It doesn't seem like I need a life vest here. The interesting thing in the story is that you have this young woman. I suspect that if we knew how old Mary was, there would be a part inside of us that says, God, what are you doing using a girl that young to be the mother of Jesus? How could she possibly know what she's doing? She's barely gotten herself through her teenage years, if that. How could she be a mother, much less the mother of the Son of God? There's a very real sense in which Mary and Joseph and everyone in the story, as they begin to encounter God, the shepherds, who were as blue-collar can be, when they actually saw this happen, something inside of them said, I didn't realize it before this moment, but I really need God in a way I didn't think I did. A lot of times we get gifts that we really don't need. Does that happen to you at Christmas at all? You get a sweater and you say, oh, that's nice. I don't need it, but it's nice, you know. Pair of socks, that's great. You know, you put it in the drawer. Maybe you'll remember sometime in the middle of February that somebody you care gave that to you. But the story of the scripture is that before we even knew it, a Savior came. Before we even knew that we needed it, God sent His Son. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in moments in my life where I felt like I was under extreme pressure. I'll give you an example. When I was little, I played Little League Baseball. I had a really good arm. Notice the past tense. I played center field. That's where they put kids they don't know what to do with but can throw the ball. Hey, how about you play center field? Because in Little League, why do they put him in center field? Because they can't hit it past the infield. That's why. So I was in center field. And one day, somebody hit it past the infield. It actually came to me. And I threw the ball all the way to home plate. And the coach went, huh? And I came in that inning and he said, Cooney, we're going to make you a pitcher. With an arm like that, you're going to be smoking. So here's the thing that I found out about myself. I could throw a baseball really hard. I mean fast from my age. I was really good. The problem was I had no idea where it was going to land. I mean, wherever it hit, it was going fast, but I had no idea where it was going. My body had no idea what a strike zone was. So the coach decided one day it was my day to pitch. It was the longest inning in Little League Baseball. I kid you not, I went through 23 batters. Did I get them all out? In one inning. One inning, 23 batters. The only inning, I will say, I've ever pitched. The only inning I've ever pitched. And I knew by the end of that inning that I had a great arm, but I was not a pitcher. And by the 23rd batter, I had had two outs for about five batters. I was feeling some major pressure just to let everybody sit down. The entire field was tired, and I can't tell you, I was praying to God, God, I don't know where this next one's going, but please, I'd already hit three people, please, Let me get somebody out.
That's pressure. Mary, who was not much older than I, was told that she was to be raising the Son of God. Raising him.
Now, I don't know about you, but there are moments as a parent where I feel like I haven't done the best job. But I want you to imagine that you have to come and bring your child before God Almighty, and He says to you, "So how'd you do with my son?" Can you imagine? And then thank you. She said, "I can imagine." And then I thought to myself, you know what? Every child is a gift from God. And He has given them to us to care for them. And do you know when I find I need God? After a long day. When somebody's pulling on my pants, saying, "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy." And it takes everything within me not to scream, "What?" Can I get a witness for the Lord? And I, in that moment, get just an inkling of how much I need God. Because I know that I'm this far. Sometimes not even that far. From yelling at somebody I love very dearly. And it reminds me that there is some darkness inside of me. And that I need God desperately. That there is an end to my patience and it can be found. Sometimes quickly. Have you noticed that? There is sometimes an end to my generosity. Or my love. Or my kindness. And in those moments, we discover that we need God. And this gift that God gave to us in Jesus comes not just as a gift, but as a challenge. And that is, will you follow Him? Because He's actually leading you somewhere to be someone. This Christmas, tomorrow, you will open gifts on somebody else's birthday. That is kind of an odd thing, isn't it? How many times in other places do you get to open a gift to you on somebody else's birthday? It's rare. Now today, some people, when there's a birthday, will give gifts to all the kids in the house. Just to be fair. That didn't happen when I was growing up. They'd say, "Tough! Your birthday's in 6 months, pal." Anybody get that line before? You see, the temptation is to take what God is doing and make it about us. That's always the temptation. To take what God is doing and make it about us. When it's really about Him. And so today, tonight, I would encourage you to see this gift of Jesus as God really meeting a need in your life. As a gift that comes with a challenge. And the challenge is that you would follow Him. And that means that your life and my life is not all about me or you. And Jesus came to tell us that our life is bigger than us. And the people in the story that got that began to live different lives. Are you willing to become the person that God has for you to be? Because when he looks at each one of those babies on that screen, when he looked at your baby picture, there was someone he wanted you to be. I'm not saying something he wanted you to do, that may be true too. Someone that he wanted you to be. And it looks an awful lot like his son. So tonight we celebrate the gift of Jesus and all that he means to us. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, as we come to you tonight, we want to thank you for your willingness to come to this earth. Even for people who don't think they need you. To live and to teach and to heal, to raise from the dead, to bless, and eventually to die and yourself be raised from the dead from God the Father. Help us to deeply see our need for you. To accept your gift. And to be willing to follow you in all that that means. Including changing who we are. And thank you for your deep love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.